Step this way, ladies and gentlemen. Step this way and witness the death-defying aerial ballet. See the delicately delicious and delectable Pincus sisters. Watch as they combat the laws of gravitation 30 feet above terra firma. Hear the immortal phrases on the ball.
Introducing Mr. Frank Windsor as Sergeant Cribb. Ably aided by Mr. John Hollis as Constable Thackeray. Their interpretations based on the characters created by the academical and aphoristic author, Mr. Peter Lovesey. And adapted from his novel, Abracadabra, for the amorphous acoustic wonders of wireless, by Mr. Jeffrey M. Matthews. Ladies and gentlemen, Abracadabra!
Why, Miss Lola.
See that? Go on, look at it.
A charming limb, but do I detect an abrasion?
An abrasion? Why, that stupid fumbling baggage nearly killed me in the death-defying leap, too.
Does one gather that sisterly rapport is a little less than perfect tonight?
The silly bitch went off too soon, hit me full in the chest with her bloody great feet, and there I was, writhing in agony, dangling over the audience with me arms around, if you'll pardon the expression, her thighs. I'm precious near having to drag off her tights to hold on. It ain't dignified, not for a serious artiste. Anyway, bruises don't do anything for a girl's prospects.
Prospects? Oh, wheresoever I turn my ravished eyes, gay gilded scenes and shining prospects rise.
What?
A snatch of Addison, my dear, in a different context. Forgive me. And now, while I have nothing but concern for your disfiguration, I observe that your prospects do not appear to be visibly impaired. So before your twin sister Bella returns, I will simply bid you adieu. The disclosure of yet another set of injuries could affect me profoundly. Oh, Miss Bella, if you will excuse me.
Stupid blundering jade. Makes a change to have a footprint on your chest, don't it, darling? Just you wait till the word gets round Leicester Square. Here, what are you doing? That's me cut glass powder bowl. Oh, Lola, no!
Leicester Square? Dolly Mott! Who went off too bloody soon?
I went off perfect. Come on, Lo, admit it. You swung too far.
Swung too far? Next you'll be saying you didn't have a nip before you went up tonight.
Me? A nip? Well, you know, I've worn the blue ribbon for 7 months. Anyway, before you start throwing blame on others, darling, you'd be safer watching your own weaknesses.
What the hell do you mean?
How about your fancy soldier boy?
And what's wrong with him?
Nothing at all, darling, if the grass on the back of your dress is anything to go by.
You foul-mouthed mott, I'll tear your hair out.
Now, stop it! That's not fair, you're hurting me!
Oh, you...
Ladies, cease this instant. Now, behold us.
What the hell's that?
That, dear lady, is a length of rope from your trapeze. Someone, Miss Lola, had very carefully removed it.
You mean
the trapeze was shortened.
Precisely. Your accident was planned. Indeed, you are most fortunate to be alive. So, I would consider that a visit to the nearest police station would be well in order.
Order, gentlemen, order. Well, Constable Thackeray?
Adjective, Inspector.
Adjective?
Well, adverbial pronoun.
Adverbial pronoun. Gentlemen, as you have no doubt gathered, Constable Thackeray and I have crossed swords before. Three times, Thackeray?
Four, sir.
Four. And yet you still manage to avoid using words of more than two syllables. For instance, gentlemen, in this exercise, Thackeray has carefully avoided the word misdemeanor and substituted minor offense. An ingenious stratagem, Thackeray, and one of which I might almost approve were it not that your spelling is unequal to your ingenuity. As a result, gentlemen, Thackeray's minor becomes a toiler beneath the ground, while the word offense, the way Thackeray spells it, becomes a wooden enclosure.
Urgent message, just arrived on the dog cart, sir.
Oh, thank you. No reply. Dismiss.
Sir!
Thackeray?
Yes, sir.
It appears someone wishes me to release you from my class.
Oh.
No, Thackeray, I shall not refuse. And as the finer points of orthography have eluded you for so long, I have no doubt your training can wait a further week. So, on your way, Thackeray.
Yes, sir. Where to, sir?
Where else, Thackeray? Where else but to Great Scotland Yard?
Ooh.
There you are to report to a Detective Sergeant Cribb, whoever he may be.
Maybe, Thackeray. But one must keep an army of pen pushers out of mischief. And here in the statistical branch, they can occasionally come up with something interesting. Now, pull up a chair.
Oh, I'm obliged, Sergeant Cribb.
Smoke, if you like.
Oh, sir.
Yeah, I've stopped, but it might help your concentration.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Thackeray, your spare time. Spend much of it in the music hall.
Music hall, Sarge? No. I'm more of a melodrama man myself. Irving at the Lyceum, Wilson Barrett at the Princess. Now, there's entertainment for you.
Matter of opinion. But you have been inside a music hall.
Oh, yes, I've had to. Once I had to Camden on my regular beat. But it's not my cup of tea.
From now on, it's going to be. Here, take a look at these. Well?
Divisional accident reports.
Any other conclusions?
Oh, not yet, Sarge. Except a number of divisions are involved.
Well, I'll tell you. During the last 4 weeks, there have been six accidents, all in music halls. These were spotted by my constables, which means there may have been others. Some missed, others not reported by the division.
Six in 4 weeks, Sarge. Some common hard to credit.
Singly, perhaps. But get them here together in the statistics branch, and they form a pattern which I, for one, don't find at all pretty. Now, Thackeray, place them in date sequence.
Date sequence. Let's see. First one, September the 15th. Accident on a trapeze. The Pinker sisters at the Middlesex.
The Old Mo.
What, Sarge?
The Middlesex, known as the Old Mo.
Oh.
It's built onto the Mogul Tavern in Drury Lane.
Well, that's where the Pinker sisters complained to Sergeant Woolwright that someone had tampered with their trapeze. The sergeant mentions that Miss Lola Pinker showed him a prominent bruise.
That man's an idiot. In my experience, Constable Thackeray, injuries to young women are best taken on trust. I've heard of more than one sprained ankle that lost a good sergeant his stripes. The next one. That, as I recall, was Bellotti.
Bellotti the barrel dancer. September 17th, Metropolitan Edgware Road. Does the hornpipe on three barrels. On this occasion, he stepped on the centre one, slipped and fell flat on his face. Broke his arm and, blimey, set his aerolite on the footlights. The report says the locals found a line of axle grease smeared round the barrel.
Nasty little episode. The next one was the Oxford, I believe, two nights later. A fight, wasn't it?
Yes, Sarge. A comedian called Sam Fagin assaulted a stagehand, broke the man's jaw. The case was dismissed the next day at Bow Street. The magistrate agreed that while Fagin had acted rashly, he had been subjected to
provocation.
Provocation, yes.
Now, Thackeray, that is what interests me. Look at the report.
Yes, sir, let's see here. According to the arresting officer, nothing untoward was observed until Fagin went into his closing song. Take it from me, but she likes it. After the last verse, Fagin asked the audience to join in a chorus. The words of the song, printed on a large sheet of paper, unrolled slowly. First line to appear was correct, but the rest, according to Constable Burton, had been altered shamefully by an unknown person and made reference to a gracious personage which no loyal subject could repeat.
An officer of singular discretion. See what happened next?
1,800 members of the audience went through the song. Then the appalling significance of the words registered. Fagin was pelted with fruit and booed off the stage. That's when he assaulted the stagehand.
Hey, you any idea what the words were, Sarge?
I hardly dare speculate. But if it's what I suppose, take it from me, Thackeray. She would not be amused.
No. You ready for the next one, Sarge?
Not particularly. But as you must be made aware of the details, you'd better read on.
Yeah. September 20th, Tivoli Gardens. A sword swallower. Yeah, show me half down if you think it would... Oh, well, I call this downright mean. I mean, it must be bad enough to push a blade down your throat, but to have someone smear half of it with mustard.
Continue, please, Thackeray.
Two other incidents happened 2 weeks later. There was a misfortune to Miss Penelope Tring, the voice on the swing. She nearly fell and fell the jump. Whew, what a predicament. Here, the constable seems to have been uncommon well placed to report it so accurately.
Don't look so wistful, Thackeray. You were not at the Royal, and I do not intend to have it restaged for your benefit.
No, Sarge. Except it could have been a pure accident.
Thackeray, if you can bring yourself to read beyond the constable's description, you will find that Miss Tring's garments have been tampered with in three places. As soon as they came under pressure.
Cool, Sarge. It's surprising she chose to jump off the swing.
Landing in the stalls, breaking her arm in two places and knocking out one member of the audience.
I don't suppose she felt a thing. Anyway, Sarge, the last one was the Canterbury on October 9th. Stuff this sword up. Well, if this was deliberate, I reckon we're after a lunatic. I mean, the poor girl could have died. Do you think it connects with the others?
I don't know, Thackeray. But if it does... We are holding the wrong man in Newgate Prison.
Newgate, Sarge? Something sniffy rotten. Now, you wouldn't trouble yourself with penny gaff performers and broken limbs. Not unless you had something else.
Indeed, Thackeray. I have. This was delivered to Stone End Police Station this morning.
A playbill? Well, I'm sorry, Sarge, but...
Use your eyes, man. See the inked rings.
Grampian. Sensational tragedy tonight. Well, he must be a lunatic. Point is, Sarge, what can we do about it?
Try and reduce the risk. The hall will be checked before the performance. And later, you and I, with four plainclothes men from Stone's End, will be in the audience. But first, we're going to pay a visit to Newgate.
Wilson, on your feet. Visitors.
So you're Wilson. My name's Cribb. Detective Sergeant Cribb. This is Constable Thackeray. But that needn't mean trouble.
What matter? I'm Stoney.
Understand me, Wilson. I'm not here for a bribe.
Makes a change.
I need information. I want to know what brought you here.
A police van.
I thought you were a magician, not a comic. We'll start again. Now, I don't think you're a jailbird.
Stone walls do not a prison make.
Right, Wolston. Attention. Hand on the table. At the double. Look at his hands, Thackeray.
Very nice.
Neat set of fingers. He'll need to keep them that way if he wants to stay a magician. What do you call it? Leisure domain? I wonder what sort of leisure domain you'll get up to in Newgate. Might try you on the pump handle. Most manage about 5,000 revolutions a day before the vistas slow them down.
Well, Mr. Crook, for heaven's sake, you wouldn't.
Try me. Unless, of course, you prefer to tell me what went wrong at the Canterbury.
Oh, I don't know. A mechanical fault. You've seen the trick done?
I've heard of it. I've seen it done, Sergeant.
Probably you have, my dear fellow. It's not original. Well, not even the famous Dr. Lynn or Maskelyne used my method. I wouldn't use rubber swords or female contortionists.
In that case, Woolston, I'd suggest you had better explain your method. You'll have to be in court.
No magician enjoys destroying an illusion. I seem to have little choice. So, imagine a large box. Mm-hmm. It's empty. A shapely girl steps inside and a door closes on her. Now, all you see are her head and feet. Then, accompanied by a drum roll, I take a dozen swords, so sharp they chill the blood, and thrust them through the box. It seems impossible that none will penetrate her body. The audience waits. Then, with the effect achieved, I withdraw the swords, open the box, and show the girl unhurt and as exquisite as when she entered.
Hey, how do you fool the audience?
Very simply. Because the audience sees the girl's face and feet, they believe her body must be facing them.
But it has to be.
Because, Constable, you believe your eyes. You see boots and you think her feet are in them. But the boots are several sizes too large so the feet can be removed. That means the girl can move her body quite freely. So she turns her body to the left, putting it in profile, so to speak, while she still stares directly at the audience.
Ingenious and simple.
There's more, Sergeant. Let me see. This table, it's nothing more than a flap hinged to the cell wall. I release this clip, and it drops. Same principle is incorporated in my box.
To what purpose, Mr. Woolston?
Support, Sergeant. You see, once free of the boots, my assistant releases a catch. That releases a flap. Narrow, but still strong enough to provide the support necessary for her body to be kept clear of the blade.
Except that at your last performance, something went wrong.
The flap gave way under her weight.
So she couldn't avoid the sword?
Not completely. She managed to twist away from the first one. Unfortunately, the second penetrated the fleshy part of her leg.
Surely she tried to warn you.
Yes, she did, but she usually looks alarmed as I drive home the swords. It's part of the act. You know, Constable, I only knew something was amiss when I felt some resistance.
What happened then?
Well, there was deplorable confusion. A policeman climbed on stage, a doctor appeared, but nobody wanted to open the box for fear of aggravating the girl's injuries. And I, in my own distress, failed to appreciate one point of significance.
What was that, Mr. Woolston?
Everyone but me thought she was impaled through the stomach. They turned the box round so that it was horizontal. Then one of the boots dropped off. Well, that provoked screams from the audience. Anyway, a carpenter sawed the box open and the girl was taken to Charing Cross Hospital.
And that was when you were arrested?
Yes. All because the wretched girl kept on screaming that I'd impaled her on purpose.
Ah. Had you quarreled recently?
No, we'd had a few wry words earlier in the evening. She was putting on weight.
And she didn't take kindly to your criticism?
She did not, but I was right. She was too blasted heavy for the flap.
You examined it after the incident?
In all that confusion? No. And you won't be able to now. Stage managers never keep useless props backstage.
The evidence should never be destroyed. Tell me, Mr. Woolston, what are you charged with?
Assault. But I understand there may well be other charges. The damn girl isn't in any danger, is she?
I believe not. Mr. Woolston, this girl, would you have wanted to hurt her?
No.
But you had quarreled earlier.
Constable, I'm a professional. I have a reputation in all the halls. That girl was a first-class assistant. But to get her that way, I had to train her. Without that, she'd still be at the Alhambra earning 10 shillings a week as a figurine and taking drinks from soldiers in the interval.
In the valley, was she?
Until I rescued her.
Then she spoiled everything by putting on weight.
Yes, ruined my career. The hours I spent teaching her how to move in the box. Now it's all destroyed.
If so, I'm sorry. But I'm grateful for your plain speaking. Now, Thackeray, we mustn't detain Mr. Woolston. My nose tells me there's a pot of Newgate stew close by. And I ain't planning to stay for lunch.
Well, that's the first half over. And I must say, Sarge, it's better than batting me off round Bermondsey all night.
Or attending education classes, eh, Thackeray?
Oh,
now, here's two handsomes if I ever saw them. You look the sort of gents who'd have one of me hot kidney pies, hot and fresh. Or how about a plate of natives to swill with your fizz?
Fizz? Hey, how about it, Sarge?
On your 35 bob a week, Thackeray. I'd say Fulton's was near to your mark, so we'll settle for 2 pints of East India.
Oh, tar.
Mustn't forget why we're here, Thackeray.
Well, if I can't sell you anything better, perhaps you'd prefer a couple of dainty companions to share your box. Come on, what you say?
Well, Thackeray,
for 35 bob a week. Anyway, Sarge, you said I wasn't here to enjoy myself.
Ah, then I'll bid you good night, gents. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Looks like they're starting.
You merciless rebel. And now, since I happen to be on my feet, I might as well tell you what else you have in store. A regular jamboree of delights. A bill that'll touch your hearts and tickle your fancy.
Wish someone would tickle him, Sarge.
Just concentrate on how quick you can get done on that stage. If anything happens, I want you there fast. Understand?
We've not a sight or a word to offend even the most delicate-minded ladies among you. So, madam, well, so do I. Meet me after the show and I'll remedy the deficiency. Without more ado, fresh from a success at the London Pavilion, the Metropolitan, the Tivoli Garden, here in Barton, to charm you with a ditty, the delicate, delicious Miss Ellen Blake.
Oh, she's a stunner, is she?
Keep yourself in check, Thackeray. I don't want you on the stage just yet. Good Lord, man. You're foaming at the mouth.
Foaming, Sarge? Oh, sorry, it's just aired off the ale. Well, she's certainly a stunner.
And she's getting a damn good reception. You know, Thackeray, it wasn't so long ago that they covered the orchestra with netting.
What for, Sarge?
Protection. It kept the rotten fruit away. Favorite missiles when audiences didn't like duck performers. Ooh. Anyway, here they go.
Temperance of Java, I shall enjoy a tipple of fizz. Generously subscribed by the table on my right. And while I drink their health, the show will proceed with a redoubtable display of manly vigor from that sovereign of strongmen, that Hercules from Rotherhithe, the great Albert.
He won't need much protection.
There's a pity about the moustache, Sarge. Don't look much like an ancient Greek to me. God blimey, look at the woman. She's just about as big as he is.
Keep away from Albert, missus, you'll rupture him.
I wonder if they're related. Now, what's he up to with that basket?
For my son Albert's first feat, a unique portrayal of the greatness of Britain and her empire.
Hey! Blimey, Sarge. He ain't going to lift those barbells.
Thackeray, that prop basket. I'll swear it moves.
Well, it must be part of the act. Anyway, she's unstrapping it. Still, I feel sorry for him having to stand with that load of iron above his head. Sarge, there's something in there.
It's a bulldog. Ferocious, Thackeray. Albert, it's got him. He'll drop those barbells. Well, don't just sit looking. Get down there and let the dog off him.
Right.
I'll see you backstage, Thackeray.
Careful.
Right.
Get him on the couch.
Yeah, he's all right. Right, everyone out. The show goes on as billed.
Now, where's the medicine chest? Hurry, man.
Look here, you. This is my theatre.
Where do you want the basket, Sarge?
Oh, I'm bleeding to death. Get that vicious animal out.
Oh. I don't want anyone else in here.
Oh. Sorry, old boy. That dog is evidence.
And I'm a police officer.
Major Chick. Oh, but you're a right man in an emergency. This gentleman says he's a policeman.
Really? I wouldn't have said so. Looks too blasted intelligent.
Detective Sergeant Cripps, eh? And that's Constable Thackeray sitting on the dog basket.
Uh-huh. Chick. Percival Chick. Major, retired, late adjutant, 8th Hussars. I'm a detective. Private. You may have heard of me.
Can't say that I have, sir. But after I've attended to Albert, perhaps you'd care to tell me why you're here.
Oh, well, then you better have this here. Iodine. Used fine for disinfection. Especially if poured on liberally. It's a rare capacity for enlivening a man.
Right, Albert. Let's have a look. Thackeray, your pocket handkerchief.
Sarge.
What the...
Albert, dearest, I just heard. Is he injured badly?
We don't know, Miss Blake. Not until I'm allowed to attend to him. Major, perhaps you'll support his leg. And you, Miss Blake... Try and keep Albert from becoming further distressed. Yeah, not too much blood. Dog's teeth sank in a bit. Now, Albert, I'll just wipe the wound clean. There. Then we make a pad, saturate it with iodine, and apply it so.
Absolutely perfect, Sergeant. Damn it, man, you're wasted in the yard. Should be an army surgeon.
You'll be all right now, Albert. And no other injuries?
Only my ankle. I twisted it when I fell through the stage.
They'll keep you off work for a couple of weeks, and you can thank that blasted dog of yours for lost wages.
My dog? That thing isn't my dog. Why, Beaconsfield wouldn't attack anyone. He's so old, it's all he can do to stand.
Substitution? Sure, we've a cunning adversary here, Sergeant.
Right. Well, Albert, if that animal ain't Beaconsfield, where is his lordship?
Well, I don't know. Last time I saw him was when I put him in his basket, just before Miss Blake's act. I like to watch it, so I prepare all my props first.
So the dogs could have been exchanged at any time after that?
I suppose so.
The substitution must have been made while Miss Blake was performing. Who else would be in the wings at that time?
Almost anyone. Music hall is different from the legitimate theatre. We changed the running order to fit the star billings. Like tonight, Miss Jenny Hill went on at 8. Nothing could alter that because she had to be at the Royal Aquarium at 9 and the Pavilion at 9:45. So I had to change the order to ensure it enough time to get a cab across to Tothill Street. And that can happen on any night, so you see, Sergeant.
Surely you've some notion.
Well, I'll make an inventory if that pleases Scotland Yard. Let me see. We have the Red Indians and Salt and Battery. They're policemen too. The Daltons, 9, or is it 10 stage ends? Or shall I continue?
No. You've made your point. But you, Major, why are you here?
Told you. Investigating. I engaged Major Chick last week. The halls have suffered a series of strange occurrences recently. I considered having him here as an insurance. However, your swift arrival also indicates that you were on watch. Why?
That's not important for the moment. Major, you've been here a week. Have you noticed anything irregular? Anything at all?
It's deuced difficult to answer, really, Sergeant. Nothing here but chaos. Stagehands being hired and fired on the same day, dancers and stage door johnnies waltzing around the back. Not to mention the...
Beaconsfield! I found my beautiful Beaconsfield. There he was, all alone in that horrible quick change room by himself. And if Miss Charity Finch Hatton had not found it necessary to adjust her garter, we might not have found him for hours, would we, Beaconsfield?
Thackeray, a chair. Please sit down, ma'am. And, Thackeray, get that other animal out of here.
Oh, very good, Sergeant. Cowboy, you're under arrest.
Cribbs is the name, ma'am. I'm a police officer, and I should like the liberty of asking some questions.
We shall answer if we are able. God, and hush, Beaconsfield. Well, officer?
First, ma'am, can you tell me why you did not notice, before the act, that is, that the dog in the basket was not Beaconsfield.
Once we have dressed Beaconsfield, we do not venture near the basket. It pains us enough to have to imprison him. So all we noticed tonight was a dog. And since he was in the right basket and dressed in a red, white and blue flag, we assumed it was Beaconsfield.
So you have no idea who might be responsible for the mishap?
If we were aware of that, Mr. Cribb, you might be arresting us now. We'd not take kindly to anyone who was inconsiderate enough to arm our poor little pet.
I will remember that, ma'am. But now you must attend to Albert. He will require assistance in getting to his lodgings.
Assistance? Surely a little dog bite isn't going to stop him walking?
Yeah, well, I twisted my ankle when I fell. I'll have to rest for a couple of weeks.
Rest? For 2 weeks?
I can't put any weight on it, Mum.
So I will be forced to return to serio-comic singing just to keep out of the workhouse. Do you hear that, Beaconsfield?
I'm sorry, Mum.
Not as sorry as I am. And now perhaps my big, strong man will tell me how he intends to get home. Are we to carry him on our back?
We'll see to Albert, ma'am. Miss Blake, if you'll be kind enough to fetch his clothes. Come on, Albert.
Oh, arm round my shoulder. Now, Albert, onto the bed with you.
Oh, that's better. Oh, I'm grateful to you, Mr. Cribb. And now, if you'd be kind enough to light the gas.
Of course.
Thank you.
And you've assisted me greatly.
I have, Mr. Cribb.
Background on the halls. Very useful. Just one thing, though. Miss Blake. She has a number of admirers.
A great many. But I don't have cause for worry. Ellen does not encourage mashers.
Could one of them have arranged tonight's episode?
No. Now, whoever took Beaconsfield from the basket knows a rare amount about the act. Anyone knowing that much would realise that any overture to Ellen would be a waste of time.
Which, to my mind, Albert, leaves us just one suspect.
Who, Mr. Cribb?
Your mother.
Mama? Oh. There isn't much she hasn't done in her time but ruin our act. Upset Beaconsfield? Never.
You're quite certain she isn't responsible?
I'll take my oath on it.
You may have to. Well, nothing else you need. Right. I'll be on my way.
Evening, Sarge.
Midnight oil, Thackeray?
Oh, well, Sarge, it's just to...
Your face. It's as long as Big Ben. Means you want to speak your mind. You have my permission.
Well, Sergeant, this music old stuff. It ain't worthy of you. There ain't even a corpse to make it worthwhile.
You could have had one tonight if the dog had had rabies. I agree, Thackeray, that what happened tonight may not have been murder, but it was a professional assassination. Albert was laughed off the stage, and that, Thackeray, has ended his career. And when the villain goes on to challenge me...
Challenge you, Sergeant?
Yes, Thackeray. Forgotten the warning on the playbill? I haven't, and I don't intend to. Now, you've studied the report?
Yes, Sarge.
What do you conclude?
Oh, very little, really. The more I read, the more ridiculous it seems.
Thackeray, you're incomparable. I knew you wouldn't fail me. Yeah, of course it's ridiculous. That's the whole point.
The point?
Ridicule, Thackeray. The common element is ridicule. There's no better way to ruin a performance than by ridicule. Imagine what would happen if your precious Irving fell through the stage in the last act of the bell.
Heaven forbid, Sarge.
He'd be finished. Just as Albert was finished when the dog bit him. Can you see any audience ever taking him seriously again? As soon as he shows his face, you'll get barking and growling all over the theatre.
You mean someone planned to make laughing stocks of these performers? But the point is, who have they fallen out with?
Find one common denominator. One name. That, Thackeray, is what I hope for. Until I tried tracing the victims. Trouble is, they've all disappeared. Quit their lodgings, except for Woolston. At least he's still safe in Newgate.
Well, I wonder where they've gone, and why.
Poverty, Thackeray. Lack of employment raises problems. For all the spangles and champagne, your average artiste is usually just one step away from the poorhouse.
No forwarding addresses, Sarge.
No, all their letters go through agents. Only trouble is that not one of our accident-prone friends have been to collect. There's a stack as tall as your hat waiting for the Pinker sisters, and they weren't even injured.
Well, we could list them as missing in the Police Gazette.
Already done. But the fact remains that 6 people have vanished, and that, Thackeray, is why I've arranged for a constable to watch Albert's lodgings. Just to be on the safe side, perhaps you'd better get into plain clothes.
Take over, Sarge.
In the morning. You can relieve him at 6. I don't anticipate any difficulties.
Here go.
Smoking on duty, Constable?
Hmm? Oh, Major Chick. Blimey, so you startled me. I didn't expect to see you here.
Oh, why not? Investigations have to go on. Noticed anything?
No, quiet as the grave, except for the milk. Honest, Major, I'm tempted to ask you to hold the fort. I'm starving.
Oh, wait, hold on if I... Well, that four-wheeler's stopping.
It's on. You know either of them, Major?
Oh, tall fellas. Could almost be twins.
Reminds me of undertakers. Hello. They've gone into Albert's.
Got your bracelets handy, Thackeray?
My what?
Handcuffs, man. Can't take chances with obvious villains.
Oh, well, sir, my instructions were just to observe.
Instructions are not orders, Thackeray.
How about Sergeant Cribb said... Hey, they're coming out again. What's that they're dragging?
A trunk. Heavy, too. Oh, poor Albert.
What?
Knew they were assassins the minute I set eyes on them. Well, Constable, I don't know what Scotland Yard's going to do, but I'm going to pursue those damn scoundrels all the way to the continent if necessary. Thought something like this might happen. Made preparations. Cab, standing by in Brook Street. Room for you if you want.
I'm obliged.
Good man, I'll climb aboard. And you, Thackeray, wait in case the blighters separate. Then you follow. Otherwise, see you at the end of the road. Major, wait.
Albert, he's come out. Blimey! Hey! You! Albert! Stop! Cool, now what? Hey, Major Chick! Hey!
Wait for me!
Don't worry, Thackeray. I'll report to you later. Must be off. Don't want to lose him.
Report later.
That's what he said, Sergeant. But at least Albert didn't end up in the trunk. He's alive.
Was alive? Well, he still is debatable. And I thought you had brains.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant, but you did say observe. I didn't want to give the game away.
All right, Thackeray. Come in. Major Chick.
Yes, I said I'd report. Take it, Thackeray has told you what happened. Sorry I had to leave you, Constable. But he was well ahead, didn't want to lose him.
Did you?
Lose him? Oh, never. Never knew a hansom that couldn't catch a growler. Followed them halfway across town. Ended up in Kensington Palace Gardens, place called Phil Beach House. Saw Albert and his escorts go in. Didn't know what to do, so talked to a gardener. Found out the place is owned by Butterley. Sir Douglas Butterley, millionaire, made a pile from gin. Decent chap for all that.
What does he want Albert for?
Well, he doesn't. House is run as a home.
A home?
Yes, for music hall performers on hard times. He's got about 20 there at the moment. All down on their luck.
Down on their luck. You know, Thackeray, looking at this place, it's no wonder they left their lodgings.
Frankly, wish I'd been on the old Sarge. It's a blooming palace.
A gin palace.
Gin palace, Sarge.
Oh, never mind, Thackeray. Good morning. We are police officers. Kindly inform the tenant. Talkative fella. Thackeray. Hear anything?
Just singing, Sarge. Which is Sunday.
That song ain't never been in my hymn book.
Mistress says you can come in.
Thank you. Come along, Thackeray.
Blimey. It's a museum. Look at those posters and those masks. Sarge, the furniture.
Oh, please come in, gentlemen. I'm Mrs. Boddy.
Sergeant Cribb, ma'am. This is Constable Thackeray. Routine check, ma'am, on missing persons. I understand you run a home for destitute performers.
That is correct, Sergeant. The singing you hear is an entertainment we're rehearsing. One never retires from the theatre. That banging, however, is not part of the performance. I have the gas man here.
On a Sunday, ma'am. That's a mighty regular.
Gas leaks, Constable, are not respecters of Lord's Day observance. The gas man informed me it could be dangerous if neglected. Now, do sit down and explain how I may assist you.
I'm obliged, ma'am.
Ah, you've chosen to sit on a precious relic, Sergeant. Oh. No, no, don't move. That chair is the very one that W.G. Ross used in the 20s when he sang the Ballad of Sam Hall.
The Condemned Suite.
Ah, you remember. Splendid. Mr. Cribb, I do believe that you're a connoisseur.
An overstatement, ma'am. My interest in Sam Hall was purely professional. Still, it's a fine collection you have here.
Obviously, you are knowledgeable, Sergeant. I do hope I can help you, and then you'll have to come back.
It would be my pleasure, ma'am. Now, about these missing persons. I believe that... Mrs. Body, that noise. Oh, could you...
Of course, Sergeant, if you'll excuse me.
Quick, Thackeray, through that other door. Check the gas man.
Right.
I'll keep watch.
You there. Slap bang in the enemy camp. What? Major Chick.
Oh,
you better get back. I'll hold the fort out here.
Right, Major.
Sergeant?
Don't bother, Thackeray. I heard.
Oh, do forgive me for rushing away. They were quite unaware that they were disturbing us. I've asked them to be quieter. Now to business.
Get your notebook ready, Constable.
Oh, a notebook, oh dear. It's enough to make me forget my own name, let alone those of my guests.
Just ignore Thackeray, ma'am. Think of him as just another mask on the wall. Now, please, dear lady, try and recall the names for me.
You're so considerate, Mr. Cribb. You remind me of my late husband. Your eyesight, I trust, is quite in order.
I believe so, ma'am.
Oh, do not count on it. Nusquam tu defides, as Mr. Body used to say.
Nusquam who?
Latin, Thackeray. Our confidence is nowhere safe.
Oh.
No, don't write it down.
Mr. Body lost his spectacles in Hyde Park. He was unable to locate them and walked straight into the Serpentine. Unfortunately, he'd never learnt to swim and he drowned.
A tragedy, ma'am. But your guest.
Oh, yes. So now there's Beatrice and Alexandra. They sing.
Surnames, ma'am.
Never mind, Thackeray.
Oh, well, the surname is Dartington.
Dartington.
They arrived 18 months ago. Then there are the other two sisters. They have a trapeze act.
Would they be called Pinkus, ma'am?
Well, yes, Lola and Bella. And were it not an old joke, I'd say they were very highly strung. Decent, but rather high-spirited. I think they miss the exercise.
They aren't working?
Oh, regrettably, no. The poor waifs had an unfortunate accident. It forced them to give up the oars. It was the same with the others, you know. Miss Goodbody, Miss Archer, Miss Hayward, Miss Tring.
Penelope Tring, the voice on the swing.
You know of her. Oh, Penelope will be so pleased. She had an unendurable experience, but we're trying to laugh her out of it.
That makes 8 ladies. Who are the others?
Well, there's Miss Harriet Morris, a song and dance artiste, and a new guest who arrived after luncheon. I confess I don't even know her name, but she's the mother of the strong man. He came here this morning. He'd been savaged by his bulldog.
That would be Albert. May I ask who brought him here?
Why, the undertakers, of course. Who else?
But he ain't dead. I saw him.
Obviously, you haven't heard of the undertakers. George and Bert Smee. They were one of the most whimsical terms in London until, they had an accident 2 months ago.
Accident, ma'am?
It was most disconcerting. They accidentally got locked up in their own coffins. They've never been the same since.
And how did you hear about Albert, ma'am?
Through a personal acquaintance of our benefactor.
Sir Douglas Butterley?
Yes, he's bedridden. But he had many friends who are associated with our philanthropy. Anonymously, of course.
I see. But you reached Albert uncommon fast.
Mr. Cribb, you ask such suspicious questions.
I merely inquired how you obtained Albert's address, ma'am.
Well, where else, Sergeant, but from his agent? You know, Mr. Cribb, I have something upstairs that I know will interest you. My sitting room. It's a perfect replica of a box at the Alhambra, as it was before it lost its license.
Some other time, perhaps, ma'am.
Yes. Well, perhaps when you wish to interrogate me in greater detail. Now, for my other male guests, we have nearly the entire Alhambra orchestra.
They wouldn't be on my list. Would you have an Italian barrel dancer, Bellotti?
Yes. Splendid. That's one off your list.
How about a comedian, Sam Fake?
Yes, he's here. In fact, that is his voice you heard singing just now.
Excellent. Perhaps we could go and see him.
Oh, no, no, I'm afraid not. You see, Sergeant, they insist on their rehearsals being kept quite private.
Why are they rehearsing, Mrs. Boddy?
Why, for their return to the stage, of course. It's their life.
Of all the deep treasure of the garden.
Hello. Who's that?
That's Fagin again now. Oh, listen to him, Sergeant. He's so beautifully resonant.
They seem to consider it extraordinarily funny, ma'am.
Very popular, is, you know. Very popular. Going on, I thought so.
With a creaking old back and twisted old
feet. I never remember him being so funny.
The only thing I know that recitation.
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. I fear they're getting on themselves again.
Child, how much feeling in holding
God. Oh, be quiet,
honest, Sarge, I hope Major Chick knows what he's doing. Uncommon dangerous playing with gas pipes.
Zachary, get in there. Find the gas main. Quick. Mrs. Boddy, are you all right? Look after someone. Zachary, the Major, how is he?
He's gone, Sarge. Room's empty. Window's blown out.
No sign of a body.
No such luck. And as far as I can see, the old place is spivvereened.
As far as you can see. Well, Thackeray, as far as I can see, the explosion must have addled your brains.
Well, it seems likely so.
That every music hall artiste of note decides simply to quit, causes accidents to themselves, just so they can get into Philbeach House.
It's a life of luxury, Sarge. Anyway, this ain't our kind of case. Albert's happy. They're in a corpse in sight.
So you'd like to leave it all to me. Very well, Thackeray. We'll part on good terms. Suppose I should have laid on a corpse or two before I interrupted your educational classes.
Educational classes, Sarge?
They are part of your normal duties.
Yeah. I've been thinking, Sarge. My theory. Maybe it could do with more investigation.
Possibly. It might even be correct. But certain things still bother me. Like, who sent us that playbill warning us about Albert's accident? Why did the other accidents happen in different theatres, on different nights, with no two of the victims doing the same act? And why don't our friends in Philbeach House collect their mail?
And what was going on in that rehearsal room, Sarge? What did everybody find so funny in Fagin's monologue?
I don't know, Thackeray. But I assure you, I mean to find out.
Reckon you'll have something on him, Sarge.
Thackeray, in the statistics branch, we have something on everybody. If you know where to look. Let's see now. Butterley. David. Daniel. Here we are. Sir Douglas Butterley. Very wealthy. 90. Bedridden. Lost his power of speech. Lives in a nursing home in Eastbourne.
Any family, Sarge?
One. Son. Missionary in Ethiopia.
Ooh.
Stands to inherit 3 wool mills, 2 houses, 3 distilleries, over 100 pubs, and... Well, I'll be damned.
Why, Sarge?
A music hall. The Paragon at Victoria.
Hey.
Small, but puts on a fair show.
Show's right, Sarge. There's more entertainment out here on the promenade. I mean, some of these girls are...
Extremely fetching, Thackeray. Even to me as a guardian of public morals. That one there, in the green gown. A paragon at the paragon, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I suppose so, Sarge. What? It's Miss Blake. Albert's young lady. Wonder why she's here.
Let's find out, Thackeray. Good evening, Miss Blake.
I fear you have the advantage of me, sir. Oh, Mr. Criven, Constable Thackeray, what are you doing here?
Enjoying the performance, miss. And now, may I ask you the self-same question?
My father manages this hall.
Oh, I thought the manager's name was Plunkett, miss.
So is mine. Blake is just a stage name. I wouldn't get many billings as Ellen Plunkett, romantic vocalist, now would I? But be honest, tell me why you're really here.
Now look, miss, we only get 2 days off a month. They try to ensure that each man gets at least one Sunday, so if a copper uses the other day to visit a music hall, I'd say it was a tribute to the performer.
Or that he suspects the possibility of an accident.
Yes, miss. Have you heard whether Albert is contented in his new lodgings?
New lodgings, Sergeant?
Why, yes, miss. He's moved to a retreat for performers in Kensington.
Not Philbeach House. But I thought you were protecting him.
We are, miss. And I assure you, he's most comfortable. Thackeray, your handkerchief.
Don't tear it, Sergeant.
There, miss.
Forgive me, but he said nothing of this.
Oh, he will, miss. Now, are we to have the pleasure of hearing you perform?
No, Constable. I do not sing in my father's hall. I'm here just to attend to his business. Bookings, tickets, accounts. But the interval's almost over. You will excuse me. I have work to do.
But we will see you again, miss. Perhaps we might look in tomorrow night.
I shall watch out for you. You may care to go backstage. Now, I believe I am required. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night, miss.
Yes?
Present delivery, miss. Mr. Plunkett said you'd find.
Recognise him, Thackeray?
Very well. Put it there, please.
Certainly, miss.
It's the Undertaker, Sarge. I know them anywhere.
Yes, Thackeray, the Undertakers. Now, why should they want to deliver Beaconsfield's basket here? You know, Constable, I believe tomorrow night should prove most interesting.
Interesting, Sarge. Plain punishment. Even worse than last night.
Good evening, gentlemen. I believe we had an arrangement.
Miss Blake, an offer to visit backstage, I believe.
I must leave for the Grampian in half an hour, but we can commence in the canteen and then go through to the wings, if you care to follow me.
Careful, Thackeray. Quite an array, miss.
Props. Everything that adds to our illusions. Now, if you'll pass through here, I'm sorry, it is rather dim. Rip, are you all right?
I believe so, miss, but I've lost my shoe.
I wonder, is there a lamp?
Just wait there. I'll get a candle.
Thackeray, here. These barrels, can you see what's inscribed on them?
Yeah, just about. Giovanni Bellotti. But that's that barrel dancer, Sarge. He's not on the bill here.
No. And neither is Albert.
Here we are.
It's all right, miss. I've located the shoe.
Good. This way, then. The girls' dressing rooms are up here.
Good blimey.
I see it surprises you. You see them on stage in their tinsel. You probably cannot imagine them dressed in these rags and their lodgings. No, Sergeant. There isn't very much glamour for them once they come off the stage.
What's the burnt newspaper for, miss?
They use it for lining the face, like all this here. Chalk, India ink, cheap recipes for beauty. But they have little choice. Unlike some of those fallen women who parade on the promenade, I hate each and every one of them.
Whores, miss, need pity, not hate.
No, Sergeant, hate. For their lacquered lips, their rows of jewels, their expensive perfumes, while my honest girls have nothing. Try telling them that virtue is its own reward, especially as they stand shivering watching those other Jezebels being handed into carriages.
Well, if it's any consolation, miss, and I see a rare amount of the seamier side of life, not many of these fallen girls will escape the poorhouse. Remember their faces, miss. One of these days, you'll see them again, older, sicker, peering at you from the Trupney Gallery at the Grampian.
The Grampian? I'd forgotten. And now there's no time left to show you the wardrobe and lighting box.
Ah, don't worry yourself, miss. We'll find our own way out. You hurry along. By the way, Miss Blake, can we pass on a message to Albert?
Albert? But you said he was...
laid up at Philbeach House. He is. But we may have occasion to visit.
Yes. Please. Tell him he is in my thoughts. Now, if you're certain, you'll be all right.
I will be fine. You just hurry along, miss.
Very well, then.
Right, Thackeray. Let us proceed. Wouldn't do to be found in the ladies' dressing room. This way, I think.
I reckon we must be right under the stage here, Sarge.
Correct. The show is just about done. and I don't want to be disturbed. Not until I've taken a look around the hall. Now, what do you conclude?
I'm not sure, Sarge. But Bilotti's barrels, Beaconfield's basket, and the Undertaker's? Well, there could be a connection with Hill Beach House.
A brilliant deduction, Thackeray.
Yeah.
What other evidence do you want? Missy's body in a tutu? Of course there's a connection. If Bilotti's barrels are here, he isn't going to be far behind.
But he ain't advertised on the bill, Sarge.
Nor is Albert or any of the guests from Phil Beach House. But I'll lay a guinea to a shilling that somewhere here there's a room full of their props. And I want to know where and why.
Maybe we ought to go upstairs, Sarge. What's the end of the performance? Could be another accident while we're down here.
Most unlikely. Anyway, there's a perfectly capable man watching.
Oh, another CID man, Sarge.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Thackeray. Playing third violin in the orchestra. Surely you must have spotted him.
Orchestra? Not Major Chick.
As large as life. Thackeray, you're yawning.
Sorry, Sarge. Just that it's dark.
Too much beer, more like. But since we are likely to be here for a while, you can stretch out and sleep it off. It could be a very long night.
Sarge. Wake up.
Huh?
Listen.
What? Yeah. Sounds like Fagin. Come on, Thackeray. Let's get up top and see why he's performing in the middle of the night.
Blimey, Sarge. Look.
Careful, Thackeray. We don't want to be observed.
Sarge! The girl in the cane bottom chair. She's naked. And Sarge, the chorus. Oh, blimey.
Look in the wings, Thackeray. Another Olympian. And equally naked.
God save us, Sarge. It's Albert's mum.
Yes, Thackeray. But look at the audience. Those two in the box. Know them?
Audience, Sarge? No. Two MPs? Three peers of the realm?
In the front row, Thackeray. Second from the right.
Oh, no, Sarge. Blimey, I heard he was a lad. Here, let's go before we get done for treason or something.
No. Look on stage. A sword swallower. I wonder if his throat is healed.
Thank you, Mills. Now, for my first trick, and for your dedication, my charming assistant, Miss Lola.
Sarge, it's Lola Pincus, or I'm a Dutchman.
At least she's decently clothed.
Patience, gentlemen. You may think you've seen all too little of Miss Lola, but soon you will see even less. This is the most marvelous fluid in the world. Drink it, and you disappear completely. But I feel obliged to announce that it is not for sale, just in case any gentleman would like to give it to his mother-in-law. Miss Lola, your cloak. Our friends may like to be assured that you are flesh and no mere illusion.
Cool. How can she do it, Sarge? Stand there like that.
Miss Lola, drink! Watch closely, gentlemen, to see it, to believe. I pass my cloak before her. Now you see her, now you don't.
Thackeray, backstage, quickly.
You. What's happened?
Well, she came through the trap, screaming.
Yeah, we was waiting for her under the trap, and suddenly she screamed, and she come through.
She hit the mattress, twitched, and then she was dead. Oh. Just like that.
Just like that, Miss Plunkett. Now, I'm no scientist, but when a healthy girl dies in a matter of seconds, well, sir, I think of poison. When I note her pupils are dilated and her cheeks have a blue tinge, I consider prussic acid. So if I'm right, and you try and lick what's in this glass, I reckon there'll be two corpses for post-mortem.
Sergeant, the audience, they know nothing of this.
So, Mr. Plunkett?
There's no reason why they should. Discretion, Mr. Cribb, is worth something.
If you're suggesting anything, Mr. Plunkett, I must warn you that bribery is a criminal offence. I have a duty and every right to ask for your cooperation. That does not mean that I intend to stop this performance, though I have serious doubts.
Doubts? But it's a private show.
Of the sort you'd normally find in some penny gaff in Cairo. But that ain't my concern. Not yet. Now, Virgo, the conjurer who worked with the deceased, where is he?
In his dressing room. He was somewhat upset.
And the deceased sister, Miss Bella.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten about her. She must be in the balcony. If she comes here
Zachary,
and discovers what...
Get up there and break the news to Miss Bella.
Sergeant.
You, find a dust sheet. Place it over the body. And Thackeray, talk to Virgo and anyone else who might be able to assist. I must get back to the yard.
Oh, hope I'm not intruding. Thackeray told me you were here.
Sit down, Major.
Thank you.
I didn't know fiddling was one of your talents.
Thought I saw you prowling, didn't make a move, assumed you might be incognito.
Thoughtful of you, sir. Now, draw up a chair. You know about the tragedy, of course.
Miss Pinkus? Yes, yes. Another accident that went wrong?
Hardly, sir. The poor girl died from prussic acid poisoning.
Gad. Murder. By person or persons unknown.
Exactly, Major. But I intend to alter that. Now, what may I do for you?
Well, I said I'd keep you informed. I've been sniffing. Have a pretty good idea what's going on at the Paragon.
I'd be pleased to hear, Major.
Well, it's pretty run-of-the-mill, except that it's owned by Butterley. You know he has an affection for theatricals, hence Phil Beach House. Now, all the residents are destitute. They stay there, are rehabilitated, and return to their careers at the Paragon. And that's it.
You've met Sam Plunkett, Major.
Plunkett? Oh, the manager, Waller. Oh, fellow with all the philanthropic tendencies of Shylock, huh?
Quite. But experienced enough to know that none of Butterley's destitutes could ever fill the Paragon.
Suppose so. Especially when the place is overloaded with second-rate singers. So?
So, to build up audiences for the Paragon and line his pockets, he had to book outsiders.
I don't understand. I thought he was pledged to using people from Philbeach.
He is. And to prevent Sir Douglas from getting suspicious, he had to put on some kind of show using the destitutes. He decided on a late-night performance, indicated that the proceeds were for charity, touted the gentry using Sir Douglas Butterley's name, and sold the house out within a week.
Amazing. Wouldn't have thought it possible.
Plunkett chose his customers carefully, Major. Promised them something out of the ordinary. Then he persuaded two of the vocalists from Philbeach House to appear, wearing little more than a spotlight. They stopped the show. Suddenly, there he was, running a private music hall for the gentry and sitting on a gold mine.
That's all very well, Sergeant, but every female in Philbeach wouldn't work in anyway, even his clientele would soon tire of that.
Of course, sir. Plunkett knew that. The show needed expanding. He couldn't recruit outsiders, but he had to provide variety.
And if Philbeach House couldn't supply them?
Yeah.
Damn, the accidents. He had them laughed off stage, then got them into Philbeach House, and a performer living off charity wouldn't argue too much about the work he was offered. Is that it?
That's only my theory, Major. And he ain't going to admit it.
What? And six of the victims were on his bill last night?
Still not evidence, Major. And there's another problem. The audience. There were a couple of gents there that I couldn't place. Sitting large as life in a stage box, feeding oysters and bubbly to their doxies. I sat here most of the night wondering. Came to me this morning. I knew.
Well, man, who were they?
Coppers. I'd seen them here, in the director's office.
Oh. Oof. Deuced awkward.
Yes, Major, as you say, deuced awkward. Especially when the press starts sniffing about the murder. If their names get out, I'll be lucky just to be sent back on the beat.
So Plunkett will get away with murder. Oh, you can't be serious, Cribb. Think of that poor girl.
I am, Major. And as I recall, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So, if you'll excuse me, sir, I think I'll go and inspect a box from the old Alhambra. I'll call on you later at your lodging.
Copied from a box at
Alhambra. This room is a perfect replica, Sergeant.
Yes, Mrs. Boddy. It certainly brings back memories.
Oh, just step inside, Mr. Cribb. I have a small trolley containing refreshments, and I'll draw the curtains. So much cosier.
Thank you.
There. Now, just sit down comfortably.
Thank you, ma'am. Now, I trust you will not object to my discussing a personal matter.
Oh, not in the least, my dear. Down the hatch.
Well, ma'am, about Miss Lola, there are certain complications.
Oh, such a tragic accident.
No, ma'am, such a tragic murder.
Murder? But I understand.
Murder, ma'am. As a result, your friend Mr. Plunkett could be in serious trouble. Especially as he has mentioned his connection with you at Philbeach House.
My reputation, Sergeant, is beyond reproach.
I assure you, he said nothing indelicate. The connection appeared to be purely of a business nature.
In that case, he's telling the truth. The residents here need work, and the Paragon provides it.
Tell me, ma'am, the deceased, Miss Lola, what kind of a girl was she?
Oh, you'll forgive my amusement, Mr. Cribb. Well, I hesitate to speak uncharitably of the departed, but to be frank, any member of the opposite sex was like a curtain call to Lola Pinkus. She flirted with all the guests, Sam Fagin, Bilotti, Professor Virgo, almost the entire orchestra at the Paragon.
Did that not lead to bitterness?
Yes, especially as Lola had agreed to assist Bilotti with his barrel act. Then she took up with Virgo without a word of explanation.
So Bilotti disliked Virgo?
Dear me, no. Bilotti knew that Virgo hadn't taken Lola away. In fact, it's still a mystery how they wheedled their way into his act.
You're sure Miss Bella couldn't have persuaded him?
Bella? My dear Mr. Cribb, that girl was completely dominated by her sister. Lola always had the last word. Oh, I know of only one occasion when she met a match, but, my chit-chat must be boring you.
On the contrary, ma'am.
Well, it happened last Monday. Albert, the strong man, and his mother brought their dog into the dining room. Lola objected most strongly.
Any criticism of Beaconsfield would not have gone down well with Albert's mother.
Oh, completely incommoded her. She retorted that Beaconsfield was a working member of a troupe and so had every right to be present. Lola fought back. A dining room, she said, was no place for... Oh, you will pardon me, Mr. Cribb. Stinking animals. In that case, said Albert's mother, perhaps Lola should leave, for Beaconsfield at least was bath fortnightly, which was more than she cared to say about Lola.
A formidable lady. She was a rare sight, portraying Britannia.
Ah, you enjoyed her portrayal. Then I have news for you. She's soon to accompany Albert in a new tableau, arranged specially for the Paragon.
You mean that the exhibitions are to continue?
Callous it may seem, Mr. Cribb, but we have no choice. The date was fixed well before Lola's untimely demise at the command of a most distinguished patron.
Lord, not that...
He's old enough to have a mind of his own. He has been before, you know, incognito. Now that he chooses to declare his interest, we must not disappoint him. And that is why Albert is making such an effort. Why... Mr. Cribb, where are you going?
Over the edge of this box, ma'am. I have urgent matters which require my attention below.
Honest, Sarge, who believe it?
Yes, Thackeray. Now you know I'm a reasonable man.
I know you don't ask for much, Sarge.
And I'm no malcontent either. But surely an officer is entitled to some support from his superiors.
Oh, that's what they're there for, Sarge.
But did I get any? No. Spent half a day convincing the yard it was important enough to disturb the inspector on his day off, and then, do you know where I ran him to work?
His club?
No. At the Westminster Aquarium, goggling at fish. Ah, Sergeant, he says to me, didn't know you were an ichthyologist. After you and I have been running around like lunatics trying to prevent a national catastrophe.
Fear makes me sick, Sarge.
Anyway, I told the inspector what I'd learned from Mrs. Boddy, and do you know what he said, Thackeray?
No, Sarge.
He said it was an affair of state, but he already knew about it.
Well, Sarge, you've done your loyal duty. You can't do much more. Not unless you charge Sam Plunkett with murder.
Maybe I'm cynical, Thackeray, but somehow I don't think there'd be any future in charging Plunkett. Anyway, I've been ordered to lay off the Paragon.
Makes me feel completely impotent, Sarge.
It hasn't affected me as badly as that. But if I can't approach Plunkett, who else can?
Search me, Sarge.
A private investigator, Thackeray. Someone like... Major Chip. Get her moving, cabby.
Damn me, Sergeant, what'll happen at the Paragon on Tuesday if there's a murderer loose?
That, sir, is up to you.
Oh, damn it, man. Right. I'm an officer, oath of loyalty and so forth, at your disposal.
Now, that, Major, is uncommon generous. Now, strategy. A map. I see you have one here. Let me see. Kensington. Here we are. Phil Beach House. I suggest we mark it. Thackeray, the stopper from that bottle behind you will do.
Right, you are,
Sergeant. An appropriate emblem, Sergeant, but I hardly think the prussic acid fumes will aid our deliberations.
Prussic acid? Blimey, he's right.
May I ask, sir, why a bottle of prussic acid?
Oh, don't worry, Sergeant. I know what you're thinking. No, I wouldn't keep that in view. Not if I'd done it in the Pinkus Girl. As a matter of fact, I got it at Phil Beach House.
Phil Beach House?
Yes, our late Mr. Body was a bit of a scientist. There's a shed in the garden, full of chemicals. Noticed it when I was doing the gas pipes.
So any one of the guests could have used it?
Oh, absolutely. Shed wasn't locked. Anyway, I thought about it. Went around this morning and brought it back here. Possible evidence.
Evidence, sir?
Yes. You see those lines? There, on the inside of the bottle. Now, they indicate the various levels of the acid as it was used.
Glass is uncommon clear between the last mark and what's left.
3 inches, Sergeant. The last person to help themselves took a deucedly large amount.
A valuable find, Major. Here, Thackeray, you better take care of it.
Sarge.
Now, Major, to work. I suggest we deploy our forces according to platoon strength on 2 sectors. The platoon with the greatest number concentrating on that point where the enemy appears to be in full strength.
Excellent. You know, Crib, you're wasted at the yard. Could have done with you at the Khyber. Greatest strength? Yes. Crib, you and the constable had better take Phil Beach House while I attack the Paragon.
Brilliant, Major. Any questions?
One. Sam Plunkett. What do I tell him?
That, sir, is up to you. All I want to know is whether Plunkett had a motive for murder.
Good heavens, man, you can't suspect Plunkett.
You have another theory?
That's perfectly obvious. Who killed Lola? Mrs. Body. She had access to the acid. She detested the girl. Obviously, she knew Lola had seduced Professor Virgo, and Mrs. Body was excessively partial to.
Didn't think she had one particular favourite.
Of course she did. There's one type that really appeals to her. Men with obvious weaknesses.
So her motive was jealousy.
Had to be.
Then how did she administer the poison? She wasn't at the Paragon.
You've only her word. All the residents were at the Paragon, so she's her own alibi. Nope. I believe she saw the residents off, then took a cab to the hall. She knew the order of the acts, so was in a right position to put the poison in Lola's goblet. And back she came. A crime of passion arranged for dramatic effect. Typical of these theatrical models.
I'll grant you it's plausible, Major, but I still want to hear about Plunkett's links with the deceased.
As you will, Sergeant. Oh, do I say I'm from the Yard?
Better not, sir. It could be construed as impersonation. Just suggest you're trying to settle Miss Lola's estate. Now, we should deploy. We can rendezvous outside Phil Beach House at 2. Are you ready, Thackeray?
Well, I'm really baffled, Sarge. But I put all my money on Plunkett, but with the Major's theory, they wish you back.
Thackeray, you disappoint me. The answer, my dear fellow, is neither.
Neither?
No. I know who killed Lola and why. But I need evidence. And that, Thackeray, is why I hope the Major will act as a catalyst, start a panic. Anyway, we'll see what we shall see.
Thank you. When you're ready, Sergeant.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm obliged you all were able to respond to my call for assistance in the sudden decease of, if Miss Bella will forgive me, of one of your number. Now, I have no wish to alarm...
Sergeant, I've got to talk to you very urgently about something.
I said at 2, outside.
New development. Plunkett says his daughter's disappeared. Vanished last night. Went out to see her young man and never returned.
She came here to see Albert?
Hubbard?
Our weightlifting friend here. He's Ellen Blake's young man.
Ellen Blake? Began, Sergeant, I said Plunkett's daughter.
Ellen Blake is Ellen Plunkett. Thackeray, this is appalling. Why didn't Plunkett speak sooner? Ladies and gentlemen, your attention again, please. You now know that a lady well known to you is missing. She may be in this house. While my colleagues search, I must insist...
Insist, Sergeant? May I remind you that I am responsible for what goes on in Philbeach House?
And I, ma'am, am responsible for the girl's safety. So all of you will please adjourn to the rehearsal room. Unless, of course, someone here can throw some light on the affair. No? Very well. Thackeray, Major, proceed. Albert, I would be glad if you would remain. Now, Albert, you didn't blink an eye when the Major burst in just then. Why?
I knew already, Sarge. Mr. Plunkett was here early this morning. Mama and I were up early. He told us about Ellen. We kept quiet because of the others.
You thought they might be jealous of you walking out with the governor's daughter, that it?
Walking out isn't allowed.
Rules of the house, eh? Well, do you think she's here?
No. She was here yesterday for half an hour. I'll swear she hasn't been back.
She was happy to see you well again, I dare say.
Well, less than I expected. Especially when I told her about the benefit next Tuesday. She didn't think I was fit. Suggested I get a doctor's opinion.
Sergeant Cribb. Please. I must sit.
Mr. Plunkett.
Albert, I must converse with him in private. The matter is grave and urgent.
It pertains to your daughter, sir?
That, sir, is no concern of yours.
This time it is. Yes, you may speak with Albert, but in my presence. I believe that your daughter's disappearance is connected with the murder of Miss Pinkus.
What? My daughter connected with Lola? You believe that?
I believe it so strongly, sir, that I demand to hear.
Demand? Demand? Well, I'll report you.
You may report me to my inspector, to the chief superintendent, or the director of criminal investigations himself. But I say this. Your charity, that penny gap peep show may be out of reach of the law, but killers of women are not. Well?
Very well. I have no choice.
But before you do, Mr. Plunkett, I warn you, I have little sympathy for you. I went to a deal of trouble to piece together how you stocked your music hall. And I have enough evidence to paper the walls of the Paragon with charge sheets.
Yes, but sir...
Unfortunately for me, those walls are well protected. But it's a strange world. Because whether you want it or no, you'll need my help to find Miss Ellen. Right. Where is it?
What?
The ransom letter. That's why you're here, isn't it? Here, Albert. You read it.
Dearest Papa, I have been abducted. To effect my release, you must place £500 in banknotes in a valise. At 12:15 tonight, Albert must carry the valise and place it in the centre of the stage at the Paragon. Then he must leave. If this is done, I shall be released within the hour. Otherwise, I shall not be seen again. I am mortally afraid, so do not fail me. Your loving Ellen.
Now you know why I had no wish to tell you, Sergeant. I may have condemned her already.
I doubt that, sir. But what do you intend to do?
Pay, of course. What else?
And you, Albert?
I'm willing.
Good man. You have the money, Mr. Plunkett?
I will have, after tonight's performance.
Capital. And I will provide the valise. Then each of us will have contributed something. Albert, just one thing. I'd like to borrow Beaconsfield.
Beaconsfield, Sergeant?
He'll come to no harm, I assure you. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Steady, Beaconsfield.
Are you there? This way. Lost it, Pog. Can't see a thing. Where are the others?
Others?
Yes. Thought you'd have the place ringed with uniformed police.
Oh, no, Mr. Plunkett, sir. Very unwise. I'd scare them off. Is that the money?
Yes. It's all there.
Excellent. Well, I'll make it 3 minutes to go. I'd be obliged if you'd do me a kindness, sir.
Kindness?
Yeah. Beaconsfield here is uncommon frisky. Plainly wants a brisk walk. Perhaps you'd oblige.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
By the time you return, Albert will have delivered the money, and we can sit back and wait for Miss Ellen.
Right now. Albert, on your way with the shekels.
Very well.
Come along then, Beaconsfield.
Shouldn't take him long, Sarge.
Couple of minutes.
And if he's not back soon, I'll get after him. Fog's thickening, Sarge. Can't even see across the street now.
Stackeray. There's someone out there. Can you see who it is?
The sound, Sarge. I say it was Albert. Come back.
I've done it, Mr. Cribb. You think we'll see Ellen soon?
Very soon, Albert. Hear anything inside the hall?
No, but I felt I wasn't alone.
That's exactly how I feel now.
There, Thackeray, quick! Grab him!
Gotcha!
Come on, you! Yes, have a look at that!
Right, let's see who we've got.
Stay still.
Ah, not you. Ah, let go, Thackeray, it's the Major.
Oh, Thackeray, you confounded imbecile, you're breaking my arm.
May I ask, Major, what you're doing out in weather like this?
Following a suspect, damn it, all the way from Phil Beach House to here.
It was me, Major. I saw you when I left the house.
You? You mean I tramped halfway across London?
Calm down, Major. Albert is assisting me. And you, sir, precious near ruined my plan.
Well, I didn't know you had one. I thought we were working together.
Walked him around. Anything happened yet?
Albert's done his part. Now all we can do is wait.
What was that? Quiet, Beaconsfield.
It's her, I'm sure.
Ellen, here!
Albert! Albert!
Ellen, are you all right?
Yes, Father, quite safe. They took the money and then made off through the prop room window.
You said they, miss.
There were two of them, a man and a woman.
Would you know them again?
No. Papa, I was terrified. Please, may I go home now?
Sergeant, listen. Sounds like flames.
Thackeray, Major, quick. Take a look inside and keep your wits about you. This way, Major. Inside the hole.
Careful, man. Get back, Thackeray. Quick, it's an inferno.
God. Beaconsfield, Major. He's run into the flames.
Don't be a fool, man. Come on, back to the others.
Sergeant. Beaconsfield escaped. He's in there.
Don't worry, Thackeray.
My hall next Tuesday.
You can't let Beaconsfield burn.
Grab him, Thackeray.
Oh, you murdered you, Cribb. I saw you. You slipped his leash.
Yes. He's assisting the police. Come on, Beaconsfield. There's a good dog. Give it here. That's it. That's it.
The valise. But Ellen said the kidnappers took it.
And but for Beaconsfield, I'd have found it a mite hard to prove they didn't.
But why kidnap Ellen and leave the money?
They didn't.
They didn't?
No, because they didn't exist. Did they, Miss Blake?
Cribb, you're insane. Look at the poor girl. Anyway, why should she do such a thing?
Why, indeed. But I fancy it had a lot to do with Albert.
Me, Sergeant?
Yes, Albert. Look. The Paragon is in flames and likely to be gutted unless the brigade gets here soon. There'll be no performance on Tuesday, and your honour, Albert, will be no longer at stake. And if I wasn't about to arrest Miss Blake, I've no doubt she'd be making plans to marry you.
I hope you know what you're saying, Cribb. Arrest Ellen? On what charge?
We could start with obtaining money by false pretenses, go on to arson, and end with the murder of Miss Lola Pincus. Now, Miss Blake, if you'll hand over the money... It is in your reticule, I believe. I have a police van waiting at the end of the road.
Now, honestly, Cribb, what on earth made such an attractive girl as Ellen commit these dastardly crimes?
You've seen her confession, sir. It's all there.
Her confession? Yes. But no reason.
Puritanism and infatuation. A powerful combination, Major.
Puritanism in a music hall singer?
Why not, sir? Her own act was eminently respectable.
So, it was the midnight shows?
Yes, and the way in which Plunkett recruited his performers.
You mean staging the accident?
Exactly, sir. Then she learned that Albert was to be a victim. She decided to stop it and sent that warning.
A playbill from the Grampian. Unfortunately, we were not able to prevent Albert's mishap.
But what put you on to her? I mean, the bill was sent anonymously.
Yes, sir. But I began to wonder about Ellen after our first visit to the Paragon. She knew we were on the fort, but she made no effort to warn her father. She even took us behind the scenes. She must have known we'd find Bellotti's barrels.
Especially as we'd seen the undertakers delivered Beaconsfield's basket.
It was that oddity that started me worrying. Especially as her whole demeanour indicated how strongly she disapproved of her father.
But you surely didn't suspect that she killed Lola Pincus?
No. That was a mistake. But she did, using acid that Plunkett held to fumigate the Paragon.
But why Lola? I mean, she had no reason to.
She was desperate to save Albert's reputation. The hall had to be closed before the command performance. The only thing that would guarantee that was a death. And Lola Pincus's act was the only one which allowed the use of poison. Killing a showgirl was nothing when it came to saving Albert from dishonor. By now, Ellen was fanatical about stopping Plunkett. What she hadn't realized was how important his reasons were for continuing.
Presumably, he will be kept out of everything?
Rest assured, Major. Royalty in this country, at least, is still sacrosanct.
But you still had other suspects.
There were only five possible murderers. Albert's mother. Now, I eliminated her because she came into the wings well after Lola's props had gone on stage. Albert was bedridden at Philbeach House, so he was out. And so was Mrs. Boddy, since she was watching his interests. And you, Major, were in full view, fiddling in the orchestra.
Crib? You mean you suspected me?
I suspect everybody. But as I said, sir, having eliminated the others, all I was left with was Sam Plunkett and Miss Blake. I couldn't see Plunkett killing Lola in his own hall.
Which left one suspect, Ellen Blake.
Then when Plunkett arrived with a ransom note, I realized she was worried, trying to throw me off the scent. But she still wanted to keep Albert. So by seeming to put him at risk, she made him a hero.
But surely she didn't need the money.
It punished her father and made a good dowry for Albert.
So you let her collect it?
Yes, but I supplied the valise well smeared with aniseed so that Beaconsfield could sniff it out. Unfortunately, I didn't foresee the fire.
You think she started that deliberately?
Well, the brigade seemed to think so, sir. It served Miss Blake's purpose. Total destruction was the only way to stop the command performance. Her father wouldn't be able to put on any more indecent shows, and the police would be burned to a crisp.
Fortunately for us, Beaconsfield did his work well.
Really, Crib, you astound me. I assume your superiors have been duly grateful? Promotion, perhaps?
Not exactly, sir. Oh. The entertainment at the Paragon had quite a following. From the top down, you might say. And as to the blaze, well, some could consider that I just let the Paragon burn. So, to avoid any possible suggestion that a police officer disapproved of Plunkett, it was agreed that all credit should pass to you.
Oh?
In fact, sir, there will be an excellent editorial in the Times describing your part in the whole affair.
Oh, really, Crib? Thackeray? Can't possibly. Well, deuce is grateful. Could do my practice a power of good. Oh, but you two, surely there has been some recognition.
Well, sir, some of the managers of the Alls have clubbed together
and produced a reward, eh?
Yes, sir. But as Thackeray and I are police officers, we are unable to accept it. However, we should like to present it to you. Thackeray?
Yes, sir. Here it is, sir. A ticket allowing you, Major, free admission to every music hall in London for a whole year.
Abracadabra by Peter Lovesey was dramatized for radio by Jeffrey M. Matthews. The part of Detective Sergeant Cribb was played by Frank Windsor, and that of Constable Thackeray by John Hollis. Major Chick, Peter Bathurst. Albert, Nigel Anthony. Bella Pincus and Ellen Blake, Helen Worth. Lola Pincus, Jane Knowles. Music Hall Barker and Master of Ceremonies, Alan Dudley. Education Officer and Mr. Plunkett, Douglas Blackwell. Woolston and Virgo, Rolf Lefevre. Fagin, William Edle. Mum, Margot Boyd. Mrs. Boddy and Beaconsfield, Alwyn Griffiths. The play was produced by David H. Godfrey.